This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 112. Tom, top of the day to you.
On the 112.
Yeah.
Thank you, Azealia Banks. Can't say any of that song. It's very rude.
No, don't say any of it. But instead, we will welcome our special guest from Las Vegas, my mate Heath.
Hello.
Heath, how are you doing?
Yay! Hey, I am so excited to finally be an unofficial The Watchers.
Yeah, absolutely. If there's a new person, they come on, they're officially a watcher then.
Yeah, they get a pin.
Well, good. I just want to get my title out of the way before. Oh, and I have two special guests with me, which are my two pugs in the background. So if you hear them barking, then I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do.
What are their names?
Lucy and Brutus.
Oh, Brutus. That's a good name.
Brutus is a baby. Yeah, he's 1 year old, so he never shuts up.
Yeah, I was going to ask if it was him. Isn't Brutus the name of, like, the bad guy in Popeye?
Yeah. Well, it's Bluto, isn't it?
Bluto.
It's also the mascot for the Ohio State football team here, which is kind of a big deal. So he's officially named after that.
Okay.
Okay. Well, welcome to both of them and to you as well. We've got some watching suggestions. We'll be talking a bit about Vegas and some movies and TV shows that have been filmed in Vegas that we've all enjoyed, and some news. Should we crack into that first?
Yes.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Who doesn't love a ham and pineapple pizza? We know some people may have a slight aversion to them, but they do not know what they're talking about. If you lie awake at night wishing there was some place you could go to where the only topping option is ham and pineapple, go ahead right now and call us heroes. Welcome to Pineapple Pizza Pizza Place. If you've blown out the candles on the cake and made your birthday wish, we've already made it come true because Pineapple Pizza Pizza Place is a thing. If you and your mates were thinking of starting your own business and that business was to open a chain of pizza places that only serve ham and pineapple, well, you're about to be very jealous and intrigued because we are friends who thought of and then actually started Pineapple Pizza Pizza Place first. Come in and eat all the sweet and salty slices your stomach can take today.
All right, Tom, why don't you go first?
All right, I'll kick things off with something that's not really even news, but it's just, oh, that's nice to know.
I like that.
All right, you remember Spaced?
Remind me.
Simon Pegg, Jessica Stevenson, Snee Hines.
Yeah.
From way back in the day, 21 years old.
Makes me old.
That makes me feel really old. Mm. There's no news of a reboot or anything like that. It's just they're celebrating.
Anniversary.
It's 21 years.
Yeah. It can now go to Vegas and drink.
Well, it's now as old as the characters on the show were meant to be.
Didn't they all
this
live in
a general show? Because I don't know about this one.
Okay, yeah.
So this is like an English. The best way I can describe it is a late 90s English version of Friends, but super meta-textual and like really, really densely packed with lots of jokes. And it stars the guy that would everyone in it basically is in Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, and that's where they got their start. And the director went on to do Baby Driver and all sorts of big American fare, and Simon Pegg is in the Mission Impossible films. Mm. Jessica Stevens went on to become she's an Olivia Colman style UK big dramatic actress.
She's in everything.
And so by entertainment standards, I guess you could say this was like the Mickey Mouse Club.
Very much so. It was a nucleus for a style that really took over UK. I mean, you wouldn't have shows like Green Wing or Peep Show that really absurdist, weird mundanity wouldn't happen without this. So there's the articles coming out this week of celebrating 21 years since they started work on it. And I thought that's pretty awesome.
They should have done a special.
There's technically like a 30-second scene on the documentary they made about it of what season 3 would be.
Oh, okay.
And that's the two of them walk out of the house and they're holding a baby.
Okay.
And that's all the shout-out was of what would have been in the future. They can't go back. The house that they filmed it in, so they were meant to be cheap students. The house they filmed it in just sold last year for $3 million or something, okay. £3 million.
Right. Oh.
So that world doesn't exist anymore. They can't go back and recreate the magic.
Well, then they shouldn't bother. Now, Heath, you and I both saw this story about Parasite, obviously the movie, won stuff during the Golden Globes, has been nominated for all of the different awards in the it's just called the award season, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. And I have to say, I'm not the aficionado on award season because it's kind of – it's hard to watch sometimes. But I do like little viral things and funny comments.
I think most people sort of, even if they're not going to watch it, they still have an idea of the big movies and actors of the year.
I still try to keep up, even though I don't really want to care. I do deep down. So, you know, I follow a couple things going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, the news out, a few days ago was that an English language limited series based on, well, I don't know if it's based on Parasite or if it's going to be a sequel or another, like a TV version of it, but it's coming to HBO.
And the director, writer is exec producing.
Now, how did you say that again? An English language.
Yeah.
So it's a Korean film, South Korean, in Korean, and subtitled and things like that. And, you know, in the awards season, the director has been saying one of the greatest hurdles as an international filmmaker is dealing with 1-inch subtitles.
Yeah.
So the opportunity to have it remade, and they've said remade, not rebooted, which could mean anything, but for HBO Max to be doing it is really promising.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I don't know if you guys remember, but last year sometime we got a trailer for the TV show version of his movie Snowpiercer.
Mm-hmm. Which is already working on season 2. Season 1 hasn't aired yet.
It's with Jennifer Connelly.
Yes. There were huge posters all over San Diego for Comic-Con pushing the show, and it hasn't premiered, and it was they're so hopeful about it that they're already in production on season 2.
So, I mean, did you hear about it, Heath? Did you know that this was happening?
Well, no, I didn't. I'm kind of surprised because I really like Jennifer Connelly, and she doesn't do, like, she's not out there a whole lot. So.
No.
And she does something. It's kind of big news in a small way, I guess. But it sounds awesome. I'm excited.
I was kind of looking around the internet to see when it was having. It doesn't have a proper release date, but the closest I could see was spring US time. So
that's
soon.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be reasonably soon.
Reasonably soon, yeah.
I've heard March, maybe April, but nothing firm.
That's weird that they haven't announced a date yet then.
I think they're waiting for a gap.
Okay.
If you want to be a big show like that and a big splash, you can't step on anyone else's toes. Mm. And like last year, Netflix dropped Umbrella Academy in early February when there was nothing else around, and it created such a huge ripple that everyone's trying to find that same spot.
Everything finishes so quickly now, so it's more about when you want to drop it. I think that came from Beyonce. Now people just want to drop whatever. Just drop it.
Just drop it, okay?
Don't warn them. Don't give them any notifications. No, nothing. Just do it. Just let it go.
Well, it works for her.
It works for a lot of different things. Yeah. There's been a lot of good surprises like that, I feel like.
Do you get a lot of those in Vegas? You know, like, for example, I don't know, someone's coming in to do some shows and they just don't tell anybody until the week before.
Well, Vegas is a little different because being a local, when a big star is coming to town on any level, whether it's, you know, football or whatever, entertainment, it creates a lot of jobs and a lot of good gigs. So you hear word on the street. So as a local, I know in advance, but I don't know. I don't think Vegas residencies, and there's not a lot of surprises here. I think everything here is for publicity and stage and for entertainment. So I don't think they hide a lot of secrets in Vegas. I think they want you to know about everything going on here.
It's that kind of city, isn't it?
I think so. But that's what I like about it. Everything's on the table.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Tom, what else have you found this week?
Sorry, I was just thinking about, I was in Vegas last year and there was a supposedly secret pool party that Skrillex was DJing at. And it was so secret, there was only a giant billboard outside promoting it a week before.
Exactly. So you see my point then.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I was just right back in there.
Such a well-kept secret. We're not so good at keeping them.
Yeah.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
So it was a big week over on the CW in terms of their renewals for next season or later in 2020. Mm. They renewed everything.
Oh, wow, okay.
Just everything. The only literally the only thing they didn't renew is a show called Katie Keene, which is a spin-off from Riverdale that hasn't premiered yet. So they're going to hold off on renewing that to see how it goes.
Seems
but
sensible.
Literally everything. I mean, Arrow is ending this year. Supernatural is ending this year. Those are the two real big pillars of their network. With them going, makes a lot of sense. Keep everything else strong.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff's, everything else working.
At an executive level, like, I feel like the guy in charge is just like, you know what? This year, you guys have all really just killed it. Like, let's just keep doing it.
That's literally what he said in their announcement. It's just, I'm so happy with every show where, you know, our showrunners are very professional. They're producing great products that our fans are happy with. We're killing it in the ratings and doing better than we ever have before. Let's not change anything. And some, you know, one reporter was like, isn't that a touch, you know, don't you want to mix things up and try stuff? And he's like, oh, we've got shows coming that will be replacements for Arrow and replacements for Supernatural and things like that. So, you know, there's a Lois and Superman show coming. I went to say Lois and Clark.
We got Dean Cain back again.
They tried real hard to get Dean Cain for that crossover.
Really?
He's popped up on Supergirl a few times. He plays Supergirl's non-biological Earth father who, like, raised her.
Okay, yep.
So that's he's playing the Jonathan Kent role rather than the Clark Kent. It's nice. It's nice. Dean Cain.
What about Terry Hatcher? Heath, have you seen Terry Hatcher in anything in the last whenever Desperate Housewives finished?
Gosh, no. I don't really follow her, but for some reason I really like her. I really like Lois and Clark.
Me
and,
too.
You know, I was racking my brain because what was the show I was telling you about? Miranda. So my sister told me to watch this show called Miranda, which is a BBC show. So I didn't know about it until now. Mm. But this is off topic just a little bit. But so I was racking my brain trying to figure out where I had seen this actor before. So the guy that fills in for I don't know. It's Miranda on the BBC. And let me see. I'm looking up the cast right now so I can – I'm so bad with names. All right, so here, Tom Ellis. So we know Tom Ellis, right? He's on Netflix right now.
Yes. I know exactly who Tom Ellis is.
So he's on this show, which I'm brand new to, so I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. But then this other fellow pops up, and he played Jimmy Olsen on Lois and Clark back in the 90s.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I can't remember. Do you guys know who I'm talking about?
Yeah,
you
know, he's dark hair, yeah?
Yeah, and so he's like in this in season two, no spoilers, it's an old show, but I'm sure. Just in case. So on season two, he's kind of like the new love interest. And I'm like, where have I seen this guy before? Where have I seen him? And I'm thinking it's on the Adventures of Lois and Clark, which I loved that show as a kid. And so when it comes to Terry Hatcher, whether it's Desperate Housewives or Lois and Clark, I'll always be a fan. I haven't seen her do much, but I hope she does more. I think she's beautiful.
I remember when she when she was on Desperate Housewives, she was sort of the name, wasn't she?
As it started out, she was. Yeah. Lois Clark was a big hit for ABC, obviously, because Dean Cain as Superman and whatever. Mm. But I think that was kind of her next project with them, and she did kind of spearhead it for the cast. But that show became so huge, it became more about the ensemble, I think. And, because they had a lot of big names. You know, there were other actresses who had done other TV shows. I think Felicity Huffman is probably the most well-known these days.
Particularly now. Like she's made a real resurgence.
Eva Longoria does very well for herself.
Oh, yeah.
She's got a big production company.
Yeah. Because I didn't know her before Desperate Housewives. Mm.
From what I understand, Terry Hatcher has become a bit difficult.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
She didn't really enjoy working with the other ladies on the show.
Did she want to be the star?
She was, and the show was kind of pitched to her that she would be the star, and then it was built as an ensemble instead.
Okay.
So this was a grumbly from the beginning.
She was lied to.
Let me ask you this. Do you like the Bond movies, 007?
The older ones, yes.
So I remember in the, I think it was 98 or 99, maybe she was in Tomorrow Never Dies. She was like Bond girl.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to feel about that because she's always been beautiful, like the girl next door.
Yeah.
Girl to you guys, I always questioned that even as a kid. I was like,
was that the same one that had Denise Richards?
That was
Die Another Day.
Not enough.
The world is not enough.
The world is not enough. Garbage. Garbage. Die Another Day, Madonna.
Yeah.
So Tomorrow Never Dies with Terry Hatcher, which was Sheryl Crow.
Well, see, there it is. Terry Hatcher and Sheryl Crow.
Yeah, well, you have to. Those are the best.
I don't know. Eddie, what's his his name's fallen out of my head.
The actor.
Pierce Brosnan. Mm. He was not the typical Bond, so switch it up, have Sheryl Crow, American country folk singer.
See, but I thought Sheryl Crow did a great job with the theme. That was one of my favorites, actually.
My favorite is the garbage one. Well, it's not enough.
That's a close second, and I've seen them perform a lot.
Me too. Shirley's pretty amazing. What's your favorite one, Tom? I can see you thinking.
Oh, it's a 70s one for sure.
Yeah.
Big, brassy, sexy thing. Something that Austin Powers made fun of.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like a Shirley Bassey kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's peak. Mm. Probably World Is Not Enough.
That's a good song. I don't remember what the title was, but the one that Adele did I thought was very Bond-like.
Skyfall.
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 Yeah.
Was it a bit of that? I can't remember.
Note for note, you got that. Oh, cool. And you're guessing. That's impressive.
Solving mysteries, rewriting histories. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Now, I want to talk about some things that are getting rebooted. Mm. Heath, are you at all into like CBS All Access, or is that just one of the streaming sites that you're just like, there's too many, I can't do it?
Okay, well, I'll just give you a quick rundown. My wheelhouse is more in the Netflix, Hulu. I do some of like the free and the added like VH1 Plus and all that kind of stuff, but I can't keep up with it. So I don't follow real close to the CBS stuff.
Well, I think they're trying to get their audience back with nostalgia because they've remade Mr. Magoo, George of the Jungle and Lassie, and they're all going to be available this Friday, 17th of January.
Oh, exclusive.
Yeah. Nostalgia for who? Those so old.
When do you reckon Mr. Magoo was? Because for me,
at least 60s.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I'm just wondering who their target market is. Because, I mean, I would watch those shows, but I don't know if by choice.
Here's the thing.
Just if it's on telly.
Mr. Magoo is something that I saw with my grandfather, that my dad had seen when he was young. George of the Jungle, I remember the movie, the 90s movie with Tim Allen.
I don't even think I've seen George of the Jungle movie. Lassie, I remember being on, on the weekend.
Thinking Jungle to Jungle. That's the one with Tim Allen.
George of the Jungle was Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, my bad.
But Lassie, when do you reckon Lassie was last made?
I don't know. I watched it growing up as a kid, but obviously in reruns it was black and white.
Yeah.
I would probably watch. Oh, no, there's been a lot of remakes of that kind of stuff, I feel like.
I think so. I think you're right. Look, here's my hot question.
Okay.
What's better, Lassie or Milo and Otis?
Oh, well, Milo and Otis.
Yeah. That's Disney, right?
I think so.
It feels Disney, thinking back.
There's a lot of puppies died on that film.
Oh, my God.
Oh, if ever you want to ruin your day, go and read the Wikipedia entry.
Heath, just block that site right now. And then it never happened.
Never.
Kittens in bags off waterfalls.
Oh, why is that a thing? Do you want me to talk about something a little happier?
Please.
So CBS All Access is also doing an animated variety news show called Tuning Out the News. Stephen Colbert is an executive producer of the show. So that one kind of sounds interesting.
Yeah.
They'll have daily little segments, I think, probably that would go on social media. So, your 3 to 5 minute thing. And then they'll have a full proper news show once a week.
That's cool. I'm on board with that.
That one sounds a little better than your Mr. Magoo, right?
I imagine it's going to be 3D animation, not hand-drawn, if they're going to be turning around that quick. But South Park, they can do in a week.
Yeah.
But that's computer.
Yeah, it's still computer.
I'm very interested to see the realities of how that comes together.
Mm.
Maybe it's going to look like bad, like Lawnmower Man graphics. I'd be okay with that, or like Max Headroom.
They've just got to make sure they stick to the style, whatever it is. Mm.
Yes, they do want to build a snowman. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Look, we're talking about things that are potentially coming. HBO Max may be doing a Blue Beetle series for DC, which is odd because DC's already got DC Universe and this sort of stuff, but things are getting bundled up elsewhere. HBO Max is coming, so they're shifting a lot of their stuff there.
Okay.
Blue Beetle can best be described as a Latino teenager weird alien scarab thing lands on his back, infests his body, and he becomes kind of like the Predator.
I hate it when that happens, Heath. It's just the worst.
And well, he sounds like more like an Egyptian Spider-Man.
Look, yeah, that's a pretty cool word. There's a lot of – his name's Jaime, as in Jamie, but Jaime Reyes.
Uh-huh.
And he's very much pushed now as DC's Superman, that teenage hero with a lot of responsibility, very focused on protecting his friends, trying to keep that secret, all this sort of stuff. And it is a very teenage-based story, but there are moments where it's gone full horror. And like the scarab has been infected, or he finds out that maybe he's like the scarab is the first thing sent by an alien race to conquer Earth, and maybe it's starting to operate his body while he's asleep.
Well, that doesn't sound fun.
No, so I could see this being very like a Riverdale style teen thing, but then swap like crashing really hard into horror.
I would watch it. It sounds, I mean, just you describing it sounds really good.
Imagine if you had a teen CW show, but one of the characters accidentally had like John Carpenter's The Thing existing within him, and he's not sure.
Well, so here's the thing I have to ask about CW, because you sound like you know a lot more about that than I do.
Mm.
What I had read online was that, you know, this is a while ago now, but it was when Riverdale was first coming out, they were shooting, I think, if I recall, at the same time, the new Sabrina series, which is Sabrina. Okay, so they were designed conceptually as like companion shows for the CW. But then I think when they saw kind of where Sabrina was going content wise, they put the axe on it because it got too dark. So that ended up going to Netflix. Do you think something like that would happen with this new show you're talking about? Would that, you know, it sounds kind of gritty and dark.
Well, yeah, look, CW is not involved in this at all.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what I mean by this stuff gets so confusing, because you've got CW who makes the very family-friendly DC stuff, and then you've got DC Universe, which has got Titans, where Robin says, fuck Batman, or Doom Patrol, where they're just hopeless, and I can't see that show working anywhere else because no other place would pony up the money to make something so weird.
Mm.
So this kind of fits that same theme of HBO Max. They can make this really adult.
It can go dark.
See, I could be calling it completely wrong, and instead of going the full horror thing, they could make this go the other direction and make this like Skins and make this like a hardcore swearing, drugs, party, really violent teen.
That sounds HBO.
Yeah, like a really realistic depiction of current teenage life with superheroes in there.
When you say teenage, my mind goes somewhere else. But the way you're explaining it now and setting it up kind of dark, yeah, I would totally watch it. I'll give it a shot. I'm excited now.
Tom, you've converted him.
I think so.
Yeah.
Listen, I always listen to the Watchers podcast. So, like, you guys, I mean, as soon as this comes out, I'll be listening too.
You'll be listening and talking all at the same time. How do you even do that?
But I always, you guys recommend some good stuff, which is what I love about this show, because that's not every podcast. You know, a lot of podcasts are really exclusive about a certain type or a certain genre, whereas you guys are really all over the place. So I can kind of tune into this and tune into that and say, well, maybe this is cool. Maybe this is for me. Maybe I want to try something new. It's awesome.
Well, I think Tom and I kind of, we may have spoken about this at the beginning. I can't remember. We just talk about what we like to watch or what we're interested in checking out. Because like normal people, we don't watch one or two particular shows. Like we want to check everything out. Mm. And in this climate where there's so much new stuff coming out all the time, and we were talking about how you know, things drop all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, this is the new big thing. Most people are going to jump over and check it out, or at least be interested enough so that if they listen to a podcast where they go, I checked the first episode out, it seemed all right. If that's your kind of thing, maybe it'd be worth you checking it out. You know, sort of gives a little validation for people. If they know the kind of stuff that Tom likes that they like, then they'll know to check it out.
And I think Tom, maybe from listening, maybe a little deeper into the superhero stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I am. But, you know, I'm willing to go down that road every once in a while and get involved in that, because it's cool, especially with these special effects. Hey, can I tell you about something that came out on Netflix out here?
Yeah, go on.
So on Friday, and I don't really know how it works. I don't know if you guys got it or not, but there's been a show that I've been really excited about. I'm a big fan of RuPaul, and of course, RuPaul's Drag Race, stuff like that. He's all over the place right now. So
such a big show.
Well, I mean, there's Drag Race UK that just came out. Have you guys seen that at all?
No.
Yeah. So there's been drag. I think there's a drag race, maybe Thailand, but it's RuPaul has no involvement in the show other than it just being called Drag Race. Uh-huh. Now with the UK version, it's for the BBC and it's different because he actually hosts the show.
I think we talked about this a little bit ago.
May have vague recollections. That
he was going to go across and do the UK.
So it's happened now, has it?
It has already happened. The season has already aired. WOW Presents is you know, RuPaul's, I guess, production group. I don't know how to say that, but there's an app called WOW Presents. And so for people who are not in the UK or don't have access to BBC, you can actually watch the entire season of RuPaul's Drag Race on that app. You just have to download it. It's like $3.99 a month, I think. It could be a free month trial. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, check it out. But there is one big difference. And, you know, it's a competition reality show. And on the BBC version, they weren't allowed to give out prizes. It's caused a
lot of
drama.
BBC thing, maybe?
It is a BBC thing, and it's been
no prizes
about
on air. And if you mention any company, you have to say other competitors are available.
So it's kind of like the ABC here.
Exactly.
Okay, I get you.
But it's created a little bit of drama among the UK contestants versus the American contestants because the American contestants are doing all kinds of things all over the world right now, and these UK girls are kind of getting slighted a little bit because it's like, well, you didn't win any money or you didn't win a vacation. So are you really a winner? Is this a real season? Anyway, it's great TV. It's just like the US show and it's awesome. So I think everybody should watch that. But that's not what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
What I wanted to talk about came out on Netflix on Friday and it's called AJ and the Queen. And it's also starring RuPaul. And it's a new kind of series for him.
Right.
It's a scripted, kind of emotional television show. And it's funny.
Is he RuPaul within the show or is he a different character?
Not RuPaul, which is cool because this far in his career, he's usually, you know, kind of ridden on his RuPaul alter image. But he still gets dressed up in drag. He plays a character called Ruby Red.
Right.
So he's basically playing a version of himself, but maybe not as successful or as well known on the show.
Yeah, right. So what kind of is it, you said it was a bit emotional. Is it a dramedy or does it more sort of like go into the drama aspect?
Well, to be honest, they dropped the whole season, but I've only caught the first couple episodes so far. I'm still going to give it a chance and stream the whole thing.
Nice.
But it wasn't really what I was expecting as a fan, you know, with the RuPaul Drag Race show, it's just big, bright colors, big, loud entrances, big, huge guest stars.
Yeah.
One started off a little slow. The concept is about a little girl and that's AJ. So basically this is a troubled little girl. She doesn't have, you know, people, she doesn't have responsible people looking out for her. And, Ruby Red finds herself having to kind of go on a world tour to make some extra money. And this little girl, AJ, ends up, jumping on the RV with him, unbeknownst to him. And it caused a lot of drama because he's actually got some people after him and he's traveling for a reason. So in the first couple episodes, there's a lot of details. There's a lot going on. And I think it's pretty cool. So I think you guys should check it out if you like RuPaul at all, because the show, I say it's slow just because it's not fast and flashy like RuPaul.
Yeah, right.
You got a little bit of extra time to kind of get involved, you know, with the characters slowly. But it's really funny so far. It's cute. And yeah.
Probably a good heads up, actually, you know, for people who love the show RuPaul's Drag Race, to just sort of get the heads up that it's not that. So you can go in with a different frame of mind and potentially not be as shocked as Heath was.
But there's one thing that I'm failing to mention because I'm getting excited just talking about it. And that is that I really like is that each episode is based in a different city because they're traveling. And also Ruby Red does a performance every episode.
Cool. Oh, so fun.
That's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So they've still got aspects.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of drag. There's a lot of drama. There's a lot of appearances by other drag queens from the RuPaul's Drag Race show, which is really fun to spot this one out and spot, you know, if you're a fan of the show.
Yeah, you'll see them. What was it called again?
It's called AJ and the Queen.
Okay.
The only program dumb enough to cross the streams. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
Now, I'm going to change the direction quite considerably right now. Yeah. So there's a sitcom coming to Fox called Outmatched. It's got Jason Biggs in it. He plays the dad of some, I think, four kids and three of them are genius. Gene Yai.
Yes.
And he's a normal dum-dum. Sitcom hilarity ensues. Anyway, Tony Danza has got at least one guest spot on it, probably potentially more. He's playing Jason Biggs' father, who, you know, comes in and, I don't know, says stuff that's amusing.
Stop fucking that pie.
That's right. But he's apparently deciding between several other offers for sitcoms. I think we're going to have the second coming of Danza. I know. Are we even ready for this?
I'm ready. He's a diva, though. Did you ever see, I like to go on YouTube, or it's probably on Facebook too, and you can look up celebrity interviews gone wrong. And he has one of the most hilarious interviews where he's just straight up talking smack about the station, about this chicken shit gig that he's doing. Doesn't realize that the camera's rolling, but the sound's completely on. And when he finds out, he's just super unapologetic about it too.
He doesn't care.
I loved it. So I'm a Danza fan for sure.
I'm going to have to watch that video now. I'm just going to Google Tony Danza tantrum.
Maybe.
Yeah, bad interview or something. Okay. So
it's kind of like, didn't somebody throw water on Tom Cruise or Will Smith one time?
Yeah, Will Smith, I remember for sure. I might have been the same. Like, it was a guy who thought he was being funny prankster, and he tried to do it a couple of times to people.
You know, but what I was going to say is, now, though, is if it's ever been a time for nostalgia, it's 2020. If you've ever done any kind of entertainment or anything in the past,
yeah,
now's your chance to bring it back.
Yeah.
Everything's coming back. So if we get some Tony Danza out of the deal, that's fine. I grew up with Who's the Boss.
Yeah.
I love it.
It was a good show.
Every show that comes back is going to have a tagline, something like, in 2020, things are better in hindsight.
We've got hindsight now. Here we go. Tom, any other news stories?
Sorry, I just punched myself in the soul. I've got one trailer
I'm
going to big up. I have mentioned this show a few times over the last year, being excited for it to come, of Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yep.
He has a new show, also executive produced by Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny, for Apple TV Plus. They finally announced it's dropping February 7th. It's called Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet.
That's a name that should be like a role-playing Dungeons and Dragons.
It is.
Okay.
So he is the CEO and lead creator of a game that is quite clearly supposed to be World of Warcraft.
Right, okay.
And he's very personally invested in it, and one of the main heroes is modeled on him. Anyway, off screen, he's an egotistical bastard who's tanking the company. And so it's kind of like a Silicon Valley style comedy of these people who have to keep the wheels running on a company that's got an insane Elon Musk
ruining it all.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
When is it coming out?
February 7th. So okay. February 8th for us.
Yeah, right.
Apple Plus.
That's not too
Apple
far
Plus.
Away.
And that name again.
Yeah.
Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet. So it's Mythic Quest : Raven. That's the name of the game. And the latest expansion or something of the game is called Raven's Banquet.
I feel like when that name is said, the actors have to stand there with their, you know, their hands on their
barrel chested.
Yeah, hands on their fists. On their, hips.
So I'm really amped. There's a lot of people in there that if I say their names, you won't know them.
But
when
I know
you
the
see
face.
Them, you're going to go, so people from Community and this sort of stuff.
Yeah, right.
It looks really, really strong cast, and there's some solid buzz going
nice.
For it. Yeah.
Perfect.
You seem like you have a lot of stock in this show, Tom, and I just want to say it comes out on February 7th, which is the day right after my birthday. So it's going to be really good, really strong entertainment. A lot of good comes on those days.
Nice.
It's the world's gift to you, Heath.
No worry about Tom. It's going to be a great show.
Yes. Hey, I've got one last quick news one.
Yeah, go.
Just chucking out there. It's not even really news, but you hear me talk about Impractical Jokers all the time.
Yeah.
Seasons 1 through 4 have just been added to Netflix.
So
there's
nice.
Like 100 episodes you can go and enjoy there.
Watch all the hilarity in the
world. Catch up already.
Yeah, I need to. I'm so far behind. I think I've only seen bits.
Yeah, I've only shown you videos.
Now, we will be talking about some great movies and TV shows that, from over the years that we love or have, I don't know, rose-coloured nostalgia glasses on that were all set or filmed in Vegas. That's coming up for us very soon. But I wanted to talk about a show that I've only watched the first episode of. It's a couple of years old, but it's getting heavily advertised because it's streaming on ABC iView here, Heath. I think it might be from the BBC. It's definitely English. It's got Benedict Cumberbatch in it, Hugo Weaving, and it's called Patrick Melrose.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so it's set in the 80s, about 82, and he is not great with life because he's a heroin addict and his father has just died and he hates his father and he has to go to America to pick up the body. And I've seen the first episode and it is pretty good. I think there's only about five or six.
I think there's five.
But it's all available on iTunes at the moment. Not iTunes, iView. Well, probably iTunes as well. If you want to check it out here in Australia, Heath, I'm sure you'd find it somewhere.
Heavy.
It sounds heavier. Than
yeah, it is heavy. It is heavy, but there are humorous moments in it. It's quirky heavy. Mm. Yeah, so it's, would I say, similar to your sort of Trainspotting.
Yeah.
But even then, not that violent.
You know, and I tried to watch that movie again because on one of the last podcasts, I think Tom talked about it, the sequel that's coming out, which I had no idea. So that was news to me. So I've been trying to watch that when it's slow at work on my phone, on my Netflix, Trainspotting. It doesn't have the same magic as it did back when I first watched it. I don't know.
I reckon I watched it about 3 years ago now, and I was shocked at how violent it was, which is surprising because I think stuff has become almost more violent now. Mm. Like you watch Game of Thrones, it's super violent. You watch Witcher, there's swords doing things to people.
Oh, and I've just seen so many babies crawling on ceilings. Yeah. Played out.
Tom, what have you been watching this week?
So what I started a documentary that I was quite excited for, and I'm going to spoil it for myself for you all now.
No.
Didn't make it the whole way through. It was called Come On, Feel the Noise. Noise spelled N-O-I-Z-E.
Isn't that a line from a song?
Yes. It's the story of how rock became metal.
Ah.
And on the tin, that sounds like me to a T. And then I started watching it, and it was being narrated by like a fourth grade geography teacher.
I don't even know how that is.
Now is the time when Ozzy Osbourne finally discovers what music could be.
So a guy who doesn't know Ozzy Osbourne or metal is narrating the story about it.
It sounds like they got the sound editor to it to narrate it or something like that. It's someone with no actual
voiceover
convention.
Voiceover guy was sick.
So you've got all these like James Hetfield from Metallica or Dee Snider or like really big names of metal and stuff, and there's no connective tissue telling any story and stuff. So it was just a jumbled mess of interviews, which is a real shame because I was quite interested in all the topics and it was all about how, you know, Hendrix's sound influenced what was happening over in the UK, and that's whilst punk was formulating it off the side, you had Sabbath doing weird things. And it just didn't sew it all together. It was really disappointing.
That's really frustrating when that kind of thing happens. Yeah. Badly narrated and directed.
Well, you know, I love a good music doco. Mm. There's some fun ones about Scar and this stuff last year. And I thought, rock becoming metal, that's going to be good.
Obviously not made by the same people.
No, not involved at all. It's just a shame.
It is a shame.
Goddamn shame.
So angry.
Did you like the Elton John movie and the Queen movie?
Elton, Rocketman, I loved. Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody, I can leave. I watched it, I enjoyed it, but I don't ever need to see that again. Mm. Rocketman, I came out and I'm like, man, there's extra Elton John songs in that. I'm going to buy that soundtrack and listen to it again and this sort of stuff. It's good.
Which one did you prefer?
My preference was actually the opposite of Tom's.
Yeah, right.
I still had a question for him. We have different tastes, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But since you're so into that, like, who – they've been talking about Madonna. No, you know, Madonna's kind of out of touch. I don't know where she's at with her career right now, but she's not going to let anybody do a biopic about her because she wants to be relevant, which is fine. Mm. But who would you like to see in a movie like that? Like, who's your rocker of choice or your group or your band that you'd like to see in the next biopic?
Look, I know this is real heavy, but I want to say a Lynyrd Skynyrd film. Because you had the scene in Almost Famous where the plane crash was going to happen and it got really real. And I think seeing a musical biopic that ends with the band dead, I know that's super morbid and heavy. I think that's a different take. R. Kelly, wow, that's a real one.
I'll watch some of that doco. Did you see any of it? I think it was called Surviving R. Kelly.
Yeah, Lynn's watched it and the spin-offs and the follow-ups. And
all right, Heath, I watched the first episode. Maybe I watched the first episode and a half and I was just like, this is good, but I can't do it. It's making me sad and annoyed.
it's hard. It's something that's hard to watch. It's disturbing. And they, actually, the second part to that series is coming out right now. They're pumping him out. I mean, they want to convict this guy. I think he's in jail right now, but they want to just make sure he never leaves.
Yeah. Mm.
New evidence is coming out every day. You know, they're hearing, now the girls are finally starting to break apart now that he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, his two little girlfriends that were saying everything was fine, Jocelyn and whoever else. But yeah, I'm kind of over talking about R. Kelly, though. I was really just making a joke because he said, you know, a biopic about a musician or rock band dying at the end. And I said, well, unless it was R. Kelly, that's sure. The only time I'll see that.
Sure.
But that was an awful joke. We should talk about R. Kelly anymore because I think with all the nasty stuff he's done, he's got enough publicity.
That's right.
I'm totally off R. Kelly.
All right, I'm going to flip it a different direction. A good music biopic that I could see would be Milli Vanilli. And having two guys being manipulated by the music industry.
Yeah.
And then the end of the film becoming supervillains.
Ooh, so you still get your superhero aspect in.
It's like Wonder Twins, but it's Milli and when their powers, only when they're near each other, they get
when
stronger.
When their dreadlocks combine.
Yes. And you could have it monkey magic style. I don't know what we would explain this to anyone not in Australia, what monkey magic is. Badly dubbed 70s Asian film.
Yep.
Ah, okay. So like the Power Rangers.
Yes, have that, but have these two guys in a big budget film that are badly dubbed the entire time.
Like so obviously badly dubbed. Weren't they from Germany or something?
Somewhere like that. They got proper swindled and rolled.
Yeah, and then became the, like you said, the villains. Everybody considered them the bad guys. I think there's only one of them that is still alive.
I think you're right.
You know, as I recall, I was young, but at the time all that was going down, Paula Abdul was really popular. Yeah. And she was kind of like the Britney Spears at that time. You
straight
know,
up.
America's pop sweetheart. And a lot of people were accusing her of possibly being the next Milli Vanilli.
Yeah.
And not being a singer because she was such an amazing dancer.
Yeah.
Her vocals on her songs weren't really that strong. I mean, let's be honest, but she has great songs. Anyway, I have to say, she just came to Las Vegas. I haven't gotten to see the show yet, but she has a new residency at the Flamingo. She had been here before for just a really short one at a different off-strip hotel. So it wasn't as exciting, but some friends went and saw it. They said she's amazing.
Yeah, right.
She dances, doesn't miss a beat, but she doesn't sing a lick either. So
sure.
She's built a career out of being accused of lip syncing and also really doing it. So I kind of feel bad for Milli Vanilli at this point. And you know what? It's 2020. So if they want to come back and do a new album, I think they should.
And they can blame it not on the rain, but on, I don't know, 1994 or whenever they were. Blame it on the early 90s.
Whatever you want. I don't even think like they would be as scandalous as they were right now. Like, I mean, think of all the artists that sing now. Selena Gomez, no way. She's horrible.
Does Paula Abdul's show feature Chester the Cheetos Tiger?
That's who I think of. Whenever I think of her, I think of the animated tiger.
He's not there.
What's his name?
Cool Cat DJ.
Scat.
Oh, Scat Cat.
Well, so here's the thing about that. They wanted him to be in the show so bad. He's not right now available. But they're working really hard on a hologram. No, I'm just kidding.
I would love that.
I could see that.
I haven't seen the show, but I would love to see her dance with a Scat Cat.
Yeah, that'd be so good.
Sizing.
I mean, it's a lot of money to put into one song.
Worth it.
From Paula Abdul residency at the Flamingo. But I think, it would really.
Think of the money they save on not having live vocals.
Yeah, that's right. Just play the same thing over and over again. No microphones have to be turned on at all.
The theater is very cold, but the mic is not hot.
That's right.
But anyway, I love Paula. But I just feel like Milli Vanilli got a bad rap. So maybe it is time to have a biopic about them and let them have their second coming. I mean, if the Backstreet Boys are back and all those groups.
New Kids on the Block, yeah.
We've been talking a lot about music, but I have something that's going to bring it back to TV.
Yeah, go on.
Watch. I mean, Leah, I know we've talked about it, but Tom, did you ever watch the Rock of Love, Flavor of Love shows that were on VH1? They were all the rage in the early 2000s.
They were brilliantly bad, Tom.
Is that with Flavor of Love?
Yeah. Where he met up with Bridget Nelson.
That was kind of the catalyst, what started it all. But they're on Hulu now. So if you haven't watched this, Tom, you can go back. I don't know if down there, but here they're on Hulu. And I've been catching up, and they're hilarious.
Are they hilarious because you remember what happened, or are they hilarious because they just look so terrible now?
They're hilarious because they're just based on petty staged drama, and we just bought every second of it. Like, it was just, I lived for it. But what's funny actually is that Miranda, significant other, his best friend was on the first season of Rock of Love.
No way.
She was the first runner up. Her name's Heather Chadwell. So actually I know her now, and I have a personal relationship with one of these girls. And since I'm saying that, I guess I'll go ahead and plug their podcast, because you guys have listeners from all around.
Yeah.
Her and the other girl from season one, Lacey, are doing their own podcast now, and it's called Talk of Love.
Nice.
So is it all like behind the scenes gossip from the show?
I haven't tuned in yet. I'm not sure where it's at, but they're going around Vegas right now, because they're here. They both live here.
Yeah, right. And
they're here going around pubbing it up and talking about it. So once it's out, I'm going to check it out for sure. So hear anything about Talk of Love with Heather Chadwell and Lacey from Rock of Love season one, check it out. Because
we'll be Tom like, Kennedy. Oh, they know Heath.
Well, no, I know them. They don't know me.
Until just, now.
I have no reality TV fame at this time in my life. That could change. I'm not sure. But right now, yeah, I'm a fan of all of it, of all the Flavor of Love, Rock of Love, all the Of Love shows. I think that's quality streaming television, especially if you're at home and you're not feeling good.
Like, people are still watching reality shows and thinking that the storylines are real. Like Love at First Sight.
Yeah, but they're not exactly the same. I mean, 2020 is such a different year. The Housewives are pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, they're really ridiculous.
They're ridiculous. I have to take that back. I think Housewives is the show where anything goes.
They literally go on holidays with each other so that they can fight and then come back and talk about what they were fighting about. And that's the whole season.
And they're so fake. Like, you know, they're fake. But these girls from the Rock of Love, that was what was so cool about it, is because they would do these cross-country castings. And so it's people that, you know, could be your neighbor or somebody that you know.
Sure.
Or any animal in town. And that's what was so fascinating about these shows. You put them in a room with all these other girls or boys or just with a celebrity like Brett Michaels. And
Brett Michaels. Oh, I bet he still has long hair. You know he's clinging on to it, right? Even though he's got the bandana hiding it. He'd have to have long hair still.
It wouldn't surprise me if that bandana was a wig.
Oh, you mean like the wig's attached to the bandana? Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Like Michonne from Walking Dead.
I can either confirm or deny that because I don't really know Brett, but I have worn one of those from Amazon.com.
Yeah, right.
When you're having a bad hair day, they really help.
And they just look so classy.
It can say many different things about a person. There's many different styles out there.
Beautiful.
I believe at the Vegas Hard Rock Cafe Hotel, when you book into your room, there's an opt-in to get a wig delivered to your room. You can get a rocker hairstyle.
I'd be tempted.
Is there really?
No, but you can get different guitars delivered to your room.
See, a wig to me sounds more like people would use the wig provided than the guitar. More than
Are
the
you
guitar.
Kidding?
Really?
Yeah, if you're staying at the High Rock Hotel and someone delivers a guitar to your room, you noodle on the guitar.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, you get the Fender and you're like, look at me, I'm Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Party time, excellent.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Let's talk about some Vegas stuff that we've really enjoyed.
Yes.
You guys are very, you sound like you've stayed at the Hard Rock.
I haven't, but I've walked through it, and I'm pretty sure it was with you, Heath.
Yes.
I haven't in Vegas, but I have plenty of other places around. If you're anywhere near a Universal theme park.
There's a Hard Rock there.
There's a good chance there'll be one, and they're always a good bet of where to stay because you normally get like free fast passes or early access.
Okay, it's a hot tip. I didn't know.
Speaking of Vegas, the Hard Rock Hotel is a thing of the past. You know it's done for.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's over. It's got bought by Virgin. It's going to make it the Virgin Hotel.
Yeah, so right.
Some of us won't be able to stay there anymore. But
well, you won't be able to get guitars sent to you, that's for sure.
They will find another location, I'm sure, and pop up elsewhere. Hard Rock is like a bloody cockroach.
You can't kill it.
Well, they've tried. Vegas has tried to kill Hard Rock so many times.
Really?
they had a theme park that there that went under and all sorts of things.
I know that I don't know if this is the scheduled time or not because I'm just the guest here. But we were going to talk about some movies in Vegas.
Yeah.
So can I open?
Let's do it.
You're going to be really shocked because you guys know this conversation was just happening naturally, but this is the perfect segue. So when we started talking about doing this podcast and I started, you know, going back and checking out some of the films that were made in Vegas, because quite frankly, it's hard to keep track. There's quite a few notable movies that are here. One movie that I never really registered to me, and I'd seen it as a kid, that was filmed here is Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's on Disney Plus. That's where I watched it.
Yeah.
Right now. But it's the sequel to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
That was my favorite one. I preferred Shrunk the Kids. I would have seen that one a lot more. I think I only saw Blew Up the Baby or whatever it was called once.
They did a lot of things with that franchise. Disney really did. They tried a lot. I remember there was a television show too, like kind of a Saturday morning version show of it.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, Honey, I Blew Up the Kid is... it's based in Vegas, but kind of like a fictional part of Vegas. But at the end, when the kid, you know, he just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And so he's now loose in the city of Las Vegas. They're trying to catch him, but they can't because they can't use any kind of weapons. He's just a baby. So he's walking by the Hard Rock Hotel. And his favorite thing to do when he was just a normal baby at home was to grab his older brother's guitar. So he grabs that guitar in the movie, you know, the famous.
Yeah.
That sits out in front of every Hard Rock Hotel, and he starts playing the guitar, which is funny, but it's sad because I think that guitar is going to go away now.
Aww.
Super memorable Vegas landmark.
Where will it go?
Leaning up against the pyramid. Okay. That's enough room.
I can see that too.
I wish they would do cool things like that, but they actually, Leah, you and I went, did we go to the Neon Boneyard?
That was awesome.
So I'm hoping it ends up there.
That'd be good. That's a great place to go when you're in Vegas.
It's really cool and it's very inexpensive. It's like a museum and you just walk around. And also there's been a lot of music and there's been a lot of stuff filmed there, but I know the Killers for sure have a music video filmed there, so you can check out. So that's just, since it segued so well into the
conversation. Yeah, that was good.
Just pick for favorite Vegas movies, even though as a kid I didn't really remember it being in Vegas. But
it makes sense now. Now that you've said it, I can sort of I can sort of see it being in Vegas. It's been years since I've seen that.
A Bell World Stream on Disney Plus now.
Still hung up on Who Shot Mr. Burns? You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
Well, I watched one. Again, recently, like the last couple of weeks, I watched Rat Race.
Such a good movie.
The movie is so fun. Have you seen it, Heath?
Yeah, Mr. Bean's in that. It came out like something.
You got John Cleese. I think it was 99.
Yep.
You got Seth Green.
It's a remake of Whoopi Goldberg. It's a wild, 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 wild world. I believe it's called.
Really?
Something like
that. That's a lot of wilds.
Yeah.
Cuba Gooding Jr.'s in it.
Isn't he? Seth Green.
Who's the guy who does the voice? He's in stuff.
It's not Ike Barinholtz, but it looks like it. I can't remember exactly who he is.
It's not Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, is it?
No, but they do. Somebody does that voice in it, I'm pretty sure. It's a really funny movie. If you haven't seen it since 1999 or the early 2000s, the jokes still hold up. Mm. With the bus full of I Love Lucy's, Lucille Balls.
I know who you're talking about, the guy with the voice.
Yeah, that's the wrong voice.
Is he the butler or he's John Cleese's assistant or something?
I know who you're talking about.
Because when you said Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, that's who I hear.
That guy's in stuff. No, I have to find his name because... as soon as I say it, you two will be like, how did you forget his name? And I'll say...
John Lovitz? No.
Yeah, John Lovitz. Blaine Cody is the guy with the tongue piercing.
Yep.
And John Lovitz is in it.
Yes.
He's the hilarious father whose family is going on a car trip across America. It's like Wally World or something. And he decides he needs to go on this rat race to try and get $2 million.
And they end up at the Nazi Museum.
Yeah. As a Jewish family.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. There are so many hilarious bits in it, and Rowan Atkinson has not sleep apnea. What is it called? The one where you fall asleep. It is?
Narcolepsy.
Yeah, narcolepsy. That's it. So he just falls.
hanging out with Wayne Knight.
That's right. Very good movie. Tom, what about you? What do you love that was set in Vegas?
So it wasn't much of Vegas, but everyone fondly remembers the first season of Heroes, a lot more fondly than the other seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And a reasonable chunk of it was in Vegas in the first season. Ali Larter's character
I forgot about her.
Yeah, she was working for a casino mob boss.
Yeah, right.
Trying to escape with her son.
That's a good call because I'd forgotten about that as well.
It was a deeper cut I went through and I was like, oh, yeah, what's the best?
Yeah, something a bit different. All right, Heath.
I'm a little disappointed in myself because I forgot to tell the listeners. I got so excited about talking about Vegas movies. When you talk about Vegas movies specifically, you should always have a cocktail. So I went ahead while you guys were talking. Nice. I'm still listening, don't worry, but I fixed one. I put the mic so you could hear the ice.
What have you got? Like, don't leave us hanging. We want to know what the cocktail is.
It was a hard night last night, so I just went to the grocery store and I just got the cheapest bottle of like wine.
You're a classy man. It's classy.
I just want something mild. You know, I got to work later, so.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What's your cocktail of choice, Leah?
I like the mojitos.
Oh, it's a good call.
Yeah. All that mint. Mm. It's good. What about you, Tom?
I like a fruit tingle.
Fruit tingle.
Something with a bit of blue curacao.
Not going to try and say that, Heath. Do you know what it is?
It's curacao.
Yeah, it's curacao. I just like to say curacao.
Some people say it differently. I don't know, but I do know what it is.
It's the business. Mix it with some vodka. Put in something blue. I'm happy.
So this is, and you know, it's a very good drink. This is kind of off topic, but you know, I'm a bartender full time. And, but I've started trying, you know, in 2020, it's about wearing different hats and doing new things. So now I've integrated it into some film production.
Right.
So one of the things you brought up, the blue carousel. Well, there's this shot that we make at my work and it's a jelly shot or jello, as we call it here, jelly, but you know, you've had those before, right?
Yep.
Well, it has blue carousel. So it's called an adios motherfucker. And that felt so the reason that it's that is because it's a mix of just vodka, gin, rum, blue carousel, different stuff. And it's super like the drink that you drink when you first turn 21 and you're there to party. We have a jello shot for sure, which we love. So they're always asking me to take pictures of them. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have some fun with this. So why I say I got into movie production is because I've been making so many movies for people on the strip on Las Vegas Boulevard doing their adios jello shots. But the key is when I take their phone from them, I flip it around and I put it in slow motion. So I have been making basically jello shot pornography films on Las Vegas Boulevard for the last 3 years of my career. And I'm excited about where this has taken me.
Man, if only you could get a compilation of it, of all of the videos.
I have of all. People love them. They remember me. They come back like a year later. They're back in town for a different convention. They're saying, hey, you made a video of us. And I'm like, awesome. So I think, yeah, if you guys want to see one, I'll definitely send you one later.
Yeah, nice.
I feel like if I jump online and search jello shot compilation,
it's going to be Heath.
Yeah.
jello shot slow-mo, or you can visit our website, Breeze Daiquiri Bar, but it's not necessarily a plug. It's whatever. It's just there if you want. Back to non-jello shot porno movies.
Well, you say porno movies, that makes me think of my next thing for
Vegas. Yeah, I was going to say, that one works perfectly for you.
It's still going strong. It's Porn Stars. Love it.
Mmm, good call.
They've got a candy shop now. They've got I haven't been to it, but I've heard the gallery that Rick has opened downstairs.
Have you been there, Heath?
Down the strip.
I have been to the original site of what's been the TV show for the last few years, but now they've expanded and they're actually doing this new thing in downtown Las Vegas, because that's kind of where the Pawn Stars are located on the Las Vegas Strip, the world famous Las Vegas Strip, is kind of on the north side, kind of where the older part of the strip is. And they're doing something new down there with construction for sustainability. They're using shipping containers. So what's cool about the all the additional businesses and stuff that the Pawn Stars have done is they've created this building right by the pawn shop that's completely made of all these different color shipping containers.
Mm.
So shipping container has its own little, you know, whatever, bar, business, whatever. It's really cool what they've
done. Nice.
So I haven't checked it out, but yeah, if you're in Las Vegas, it definitely should be on your list.
Mm. In a world that Tom forgot, we are the Watchers.
Look, we've been talking about, you know, jello shots and debauchery and stuff. I mean, I have to, someone's got to put in The Hangover.
Oh, great call.
I mean, the fact that you've got Mike Tyson and a tiger, like, it's too brilliant. Another side note. So, Heath, I think it was the time. So when I was in Vegas before I met you, I was with my sister, Tidy, and we were at Caesar's Palace, and there was like this guy staring at us. And we're like, what is that guy doing staring at us? Why has he got that stupid tattoo on his face? Oh, that's Mike Tyson. But it reminds me of Hangover. That movie, the first one, the others were fine. But the first one was hilarious.
It's very funny.
It's so good.
And you're absolutely right. And I was anxious to hear what you guys had to say, because there's a lot of different types of movies, big movies when you think about it, or films or television series. But there's a lot of them that are based in Vegas or have a special episode, maybe like Friends in Vegas. But there's very few movies that actually capture the real spirit and the real vibe of Vegas. And one of those movies for me is definitely The Hangover. Mm. I think that's probably one of the most epic, true-ish, you know, it's very real. There's a lot of good shots.
It's heightened.
If you're from Las Vegas, there's a lot of recognizable shots. And that's fun, because a lot of times in movies and films, they use, you know, other locations. Even in something like Sister Act, I think that was supposed to be in Vegas, but a lot of it was filmed in Reno.
Yeah, right.
To the casual eye, most people don't notice the difference, because a casino with bright lights is a casino. But yeah, as far as being authentically Vegas, I love The Hangover. And then my other pick for being really authentically Vegas is one of my favorite movies from my childhood was Fright Night.
Oh, good call.
Made the new Fright Night with Colin Farrell, who I love, and they did it in Vegas, and they did it in such a way that made so much sense, because it was totally what would happen in Vegas. It's just, it's awesome. And the neighborhood and everything, when I watch that movie, it brings back all the nostalgia from the first one. And then also it's kind of like, now it's in my hometown. So it's because it could be my neighbor.
Yeah, that's a good call. Tom, do you want to wrap up the Vegas watching?
Easy. Tanked.
Oh, you love Tanked.
I tanked. I haven't spoken about it in ages because it's been off the air for like a year or something.
And
now,
this has given you the chance.
Finally back in. If you've not seen the show, Heath, it's two brothers that are originally from New Jersey or somewhere like that, who moved to Vegas and formed the world's largest custom aquarium development company.
Yes, yes.
They're bonkers.
I've been to places that have aquariums designed by them. There's a lot of places. I mean, all over, but in Vegas specifically, yeah.
Yeah, right.
They've done a lot of restaurants and entertainment complexes and, you know, tourist trap type things.
It sounds like the perfect city for that kind of company.
Yeah. And it's close enough that they can roll down to LA or up to San Fran or wherever they need
West Coast.
Yes.
Well, I want to quickly talk about two more exciting things for the listeners, because we have two really big things coming. Well, one is coming, I think, this month, or maybe already started, which is the premiere of RuPaul's Drag Race Live, which is awesome. It's going to be at the Flamingo Hotel along with Paul Abdul. And I don't really know. I have tickets for opening night, but I don't really know what it's all about yet. But if you're here and you're in town in Las Vegas, USA, check it out, because you got to support RuPaul, because that's my fave. And then the other thing is Madison Square Garden is working on a project here.
Cool.
It's going to be this completely immersive experience, kind of like fish tanks. You know, they're building these fish tanks all over that are, it feels like you're underwater. Well, this is going to be a big kind of like sphere. It's going to be called the MSG Sphere. And basically, there's going to have concerts, I guess, inside, entertainment, and it's going to be broadcasted all over the roof of the ceiling of this thing. And if you're playing, flying over it, you're going to be able to see the show on top of this thing.
Wow.
I don't know, it's this incredible thing. You can Google it. It's by Madison Square Garden. And I drive by it every day on the way to work, and they're already starting construction. And I'm so totally excited, because there's so much cool stuff coming to Vegas. If you guys can get out here anytime,
that's
do it.
Yeah, so, well, there's always so much to do, but they're always adding stuff.
Totally. 2020 is the best year.
Yeah.
So excited. The Raiders are coming. It's going to be awesome.
All of the things. Look, Heath, thank you so much for coming on. I feel like we will have to have you on another time, because I reckon there'd be more to talk about.
We've just dipped the toe.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Honored. I've been wanting to be an official watcher for some. I want to be an official watcher.
All right, Governor. we've got to get you more Australian accent training, I think. Okay. Bit rusty. Bye. We've got to have a proper chat soon.
I admit, I'm rusty.
Thank you so much for coming on. And hey,
for having me, Tom. It was lovely. Leah, always lovely.
Cheers.
Thank you, everyone.
Cheers.
So to round off the episode, Tom, yes. Last week we were talking about having a really hard quiz for us.
I do remember something.
Yeah, Shay said, you know what, I'm going to do this quiz and it's going to be really hard for you. So we've brought Shay back in. Shay, you've been researching these questions all week.
Yeah,
I can attest. I can attest that there's been a lot of work put in at home on this one.
Yeah,
a lot of commitment in it. All right, so do you want to start? Question.
Let's do it.
Number one.
What is Stephanie Tanner's name in real life?
I know that one.
Go for it.
Jodie Sweeney.
Yeah.
I can't believe, Tom, that I knew
you
one.
You got the first bit right. The last name's.
It's not Sweeney.
No.
She got married.
It's kind of like Sweetie.
What have you got?
I got Sweden.
Ah.
There you go, Sweden. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
can I have like
married.
Half a point?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah, half a point.
Just what's this quiz called again? What did you call this
the
quiz?
The Quite Impossible Quiz.
The Quite Impossible Quiz.
So maybe that's the only question we get correct.
I'm not loving my chances so far. All right.
This one's a Leah question, Leah only. Because you know the answer to this.
All right, okay, all right.
What happens when you die in Jumanji?
Well, don't you get another life because it's a video game?
Yeah, that's exactly what I wrote down.
Gosh, I got it right, Tom.
Good old Leah question, good one.
That was a good one, thanks for that. All right, so what are we up to now, number three?
Number three.
Okay.
What is Descendants Hades' real name in real life?
So Hades, is that a boy?
Yes.
It's a boy, Tom.
Hades.
Kind of.
Hades.
Hades from Hercules. Mm. He of the blue hair, James Garner, I want to say, in the animated movie.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay.
Not in this one.
Not in Descendants.
Not in Descendants 3.
Now I'm, it's a third one only, is it?
Yeah, he's only in the last one.
He's a Broadway-style singer.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name, but he's very Frankenfurter.
What? So like your Tim Curry, what if like you said the first name as a hint for Tom?
Chennai? I don't know how to say it.
I can't remember his name. Go on, tell us.
C-H-E-Y-E-N-N-E Jackson.
Shayan Jackson.
Shayan Jackson.
Of course, should have known that one.
Yeah, that's
you stumped me.
There's a reason why she named the quiz a little bit
quite impossible.
Yep. Okay.
All right, number four.
What is Jesse Constable's name in real life?
What is this from?
Full House.
Full House. Jesse.
Yeah.
Oh, Uncle Jesse.
Yeah, Uncle Jesse.
John Stamos.
Yeah.
Good one, Leah.
God, it was close.
Oh, I was thinking in my head.
Yeah, I could see you thinking
it. Was it Dave Coulier? Yeah. No.
Check it out.
This one isn't exactly a kid's show, but mm-hmm. it's one I watch with Mum.
Okay.
So what is Anthony's role in Queer Eye?
Anthony.
Anthony is the chef.
Yeah.
And he teaches you how to use your kitchen better.
Yeah, but not the answer I was looking for.
Cooking.
Health?
Food.
You got the food part right. There's another thing.
It'd be something like food fun, food positivity.
Oh, no, it's food and something.
Wine?
Yeah, food and wine.
Food and wine.
Trust Leah to know about food and wine.
I know, right? Two of my favourite things.
Okay.
All right.
Name the two hosts in Nailed It.
Oh, one of them is Nicole Byer.
Yeah.
And the chef's name is Jacques.
Jacques?
Yeah. I can't just see her saying his name. Jacques Chirac.
No.
I can't think of what his last name is.
Does it start with C?
No.
Jacques Jones.
Jacques Le Frog.
No.
All right, I give in.
Okay, it was Jack Torras.
Jacques Torras.
Torras.
This quiz is
it's
impossible.
It's so impossible. I feel like we're only half getting things all the time. We need clues. All right, what question are we up to now?
Number 7, second last.
Ooh, okay.
All right, second last one.
And you get this a bonus point if you get their nicknames.
All right.
Oh, nicknames, okay.
Name the characters that play the drums, keyboard, bass, and guitar in School of Rock. Bonus point if you remember the nicknames Mr. S gives them.
Okay. Now, I know that you've seen this movie 422 million times, Tom.
I have.
Okay.
All right. So the guitarist is Mr. Zach Mooneyham.
Yeah.
Zach Attack.
Yeah.
Is his nickname.
Yes.
On the drums is Spazzy McGee.
Uh-huh.
Ah, that's his name.
I know it. I wrote it down. It starts with an F.
Freddy. Shut up, Freddy.
Shut up, Freddy.
The band manager is Summer.
Yeah.
But you didn't manage it. Right. Katie is on the bass.
Yeah.
With her bass face.
I love the bass face.
Yeah.
Bass face. And who was the other one you wanted?
The keyboard.
Keyboard is my man Lawrence.
Yeah. And nicknames for Katie and Lawrence.
Katie is bass face.
Oh, not the one I wrote down.
All right. Thunderfingers?
No.
No, what?
It was Posh Spice.
Posh Spice, really? Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
I think I
knew
that one.
And Lawrence on the keys. I can't remember a nickname.
Mr. Cool.
Mr. Cool.
Mr. Cool.
All right, there we go.
Okay, your question only customized for you.
Okay, good luck, Tom.
All right, thank you.
How many times do they say Lego in the Lego movie?
Could this be a trick question?
Yeah, I think it is. Is it a trick question? Is it zero?
Yeah, it was zero.
I got one right.
That quiz was very difficult.
It was quite impossible.
Yeah.
Shay, thank you not only for coming back on for the quiz, but thank you very much for creating it. That you put a lot of research into that, and we appreciate it. That was awesome.
Great job.
Yeah. And on that note, Shay, thank you very much.
Yay.
Tom, thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.